Well, just looking back over this past week, some of the readings we're getting out of the United States they illustrate that, obviously there was quite a pullback in economic activity going through Q4, but some parts of the economy still managed to hold up. And so there wasn't a lot of data last week, but some of it was interesting. Anything to do with housing and manufacturing is still tending to hold up in the US as far as the data is concerned, even through Q4. The areas that are obviously a lot weaker through Q4 are those which gave them such a strong growth rate going back to Q3 last year, and that's household spending, particularly retail sales or anything in that regard. But it was mostly housing and manufacturing-style data that came out last week, so most of it okay. We had the January National Association of Home Builders Index came out. This is slipping a bit, but not dramatically. We had huge peaks in this. It was reading 90 3 months ago, huge record. We've had some slippage back into the 80s again. Before we saw that 90, going back over years, anything in the 80s was looked on as strong. So we've come back from 86 to 83 in January for the National Association of Home Builders Index. Still holding up not too badly. We also had the Philadelphia Fed survey came out. And so this is Mid-Atlantic, looking largely at manufacturing activity and how that's been running. And this has picked up quite a bit. It was at plus 11.1, so it was okay, actually, even going back to December. Market thought it might drift up slightly to 12 because manufacturing is actually coming through this pretty well. It went up to plus 26.5. So very, very sharp lift for that particular index. We also had December readings of housing permits and housing starts, both of them still showing, much like the NAHB, pretty robust housing activity in the US. And so housing permits, they did rise in November by 5.9%. The market thought there'd have to be some slippage on that. You come back about maybe a couple of percent. They didn't. They went up further by another 4.5% on top of the 5.9. So right at the leading edge, housing still showing that the US economy, once it gets through its initial problems, transitional issues relating to getting on top of COVID-19, that there's a lot of underlying strength which is going to show through over time. And it's the same story with housing starts. Housing starts were expected to lift by 0.8%. The initial reading of housing starts back in November was that they were up by 1.2%. They actually revised up the November reading from plus 1.2 to plus 3.1% month on month. And instead of being 0.8, as the market thought, for December, housing starts rose by 5.8%. So a lot of strength, underlying strength running through that too. And we're seeing it too in businesses' expectations. We haven't had the ISM report, but we do have the old-style manufacturing and services sector PMI reports came out for the month of January last week. And interesting, the January manufacturing PMI was strong. It was expected to come back a touch to 56.5 from 57.1. It went up to 59.1. That's a very strong reading. And the services sector PMI lifted from 54.8. It was expected to fade a bit to 53.5, but it went all the way up to 57.5. Now, bear in mind, all this is happening at a time when, obviously we've got the new president in place. It was, if anything, something of a settling phase too, because obviously there were fears running into the inauguration. They didn't come to pass. President Trump, for the time being, has gone off in a whimper down to Florida, and President Biden has got his feet under the table, has signed off quite a number of executive orders in his first week in office. The thing that could be disruptive is the impeachment. They've managed to push that trial out into mid-February before that starts, so it gives the Senate a chance, which the Democrats now control, a chance to ratify the various appointments to Cabinet and just to cross the I's and dot the T's on some more fiscal support. So a lot of what's happening in the United States is a turn, even though the COVID numbers could hardly be worse. And as President Biden said, you know, they've passed 400,000 deaths now, and it's going to get to 600,000 before it peaks. And you know, he will be imposing some changes to try and get on top of the of COVID. But broadly speaking, there'll be some softness perhaps in numbers in the US as we run through the very first part of the first quarter. But there's every reason to expect acceleration beyond that. And there's an acceleration that will go well into the year for the US in terms of the economic numbers with the changes which are occurring there. This week in the United States, I suppose one of the interesting ones would be Q4 GDP. We get the preliminary reading of that coming up on Thursday. And what that's... The market thinks that we're going to come back from plus 33.4% annualized growth. That was an absolute record high, you know, that one that was coming straight out of the COVID recession in Q3. The market thinks that plus 33.4% annualized will turn to plus 4%. I think that plus 4% may be a little bit too high because the mainstay of GDP growth in the US, much like it is in any other economy, is household consumption expenditure. Household consumption expenditure going back to Q3 rose by over 40% annualized and was the mainstay of the Q3 GDP report. In Q4, we know that retail sales were actually down in November, down again in December, 0.9% down in November, followed by another 0.7% decline going into December. So household consumption expenditure will be, if anything, going into reverse from a very, very high level going back to Q3. That puts a risk that, you know, the GDP number might actually have a negative sign on the front of it. That's not what the market thinks at this stage. So we've got to get through this period where the market's got perhaps slightly high expectations for some key numbers before we get into the greater optimism that extends beyond. Some of the other readings that are probably worth noting this week, well, there's one key feature this week, and that's, of course, we've got a Fed meeting. And so we've got the FOMC decision, which will come up on Thursday morning. There's no reason to expect much change in this. There's not a lot that the Fed needs to do. They may be starting to watch the way in which longer-term Treasury yields are just rising. They don't want those to rise too far. So maybe there might be a tweak inside quantitative easing. That's about the limit of it. They're unlikely to touch any of their key rates. And, of course, their funds rate at the moment is between 0 and 0.25%. Every comment we've had going back over the last week from several Fed people was along the lines of the policy setting's about right. They remain supportive of what the government intends to do in terms of fiscal policy. There'll be a very coordinated policy response, but this is probably not the meeting where they'll be making any significant decisions. Turning to China, last week we had key economic readings in China. China's the odd man out in terms of what happened around the world in Q3 and Q4. Broadly speaking, around the world in Q3 and Q4, huge lift in GDP running through Q3, setback running through Q4, largely as you got that huge wave of COVID coming through. In the case of the US, it was doubled down by a very disruptive period going through the election and its aftermath. In the case of China, they had the worst of obviously COVID-19 going way back to Q1 of 2020 and have been recovering ever since. And that recovery gained more traction in Q4. So they look very different from most other economies. They're actually gaining strength. And they're gaining strength in very specific areas too. It's very much industrial production which is leading this. There's a little bit coming through in terms of infrastructure spend too. So it's been putting a lot of pressure into some commodity prices. But when the numbers we got last week, for example, we had Q4 GDP came out, and it accelerated more than the market expected from plus 4.9% year-on-year. You're very hard-pressed to find any other countries with an annual GDP growth which has got a plus sign on the front of it because we had such deep recessions there in the middle of the year. China's already into full recovery, and it was a plus 4.9% going to Q3. That accelerated. The market thought it might accelerate to 6.1. It accelerated to 6.5% year-on-year GDP growth. So it's really starting to motor. And we saw in some of the December numbers that came out last week where it's coming from. It's largely industrial production. Industrial production in China has lifted from 7 to 7.3% year-on-year. This is way stronger than the numbers they were recording before COVID. And it reflects something which has happened all the way around the world. What COVID did effectively in restrictions related to COVID and with income support coming through from many governments is that households had a war chest they could spend, but they weren't able to spend it on the things they liked. You know, so things like travel and services, they couldn't spend on that because they're restricted. So they compensated everywhere around the world and have been buying manufactured goods. Well, China's still largely the manufacturer. This is the factory of the world in some senses. It is shifting to some degree to other economies. So it's not surprising you're getting this huge surge, even with China's restrictions on trade, in demand for Chinese manufactured goods. Another economy which is having a similar sort of boom in Europe is Germany. And so you're seeing some of this effect in Germany as well. But it's pronounced in China. And so industrial production up 7.3% year-on-year from 7, going back the month before. Some of the other areas not quite as strong as that. They're still, even with the government impetus to spend more, fixed asset investment spending is still rising only slowly. It lifted to 2.9% from 2.6% year-on-year, going back to November. Retail sales is still very, very bumpy. They've managed to get it up to 5% year-on-year going back to November. They thought it might go up a bit more, the market, to 5.5. It didn't. It actually slipped back a bit to 4.6%. So yeah, it's still one of those features. Again, there's a bit of caution amongst the willingness of the Chinese consumer to spend. It's actually a little bit different from what you're seeing in many other places around the world where, broadly speaking, given half a chance to spend some money, consumers are doing it at the moment elsewhere. Not quite that way in China, but they've got a different configuration there in the way it's growing. And overall, their growth rate's a lot stronger than most countries overseas. This week in China, nothing until we get through to the end of this week, and it'll be right into the weekend. We get the manufacturing PMI and the non-manufacturing PMI coming out. The manufacturing PMI will probably lift a little to 52 from 51.9. This is a January reading now. The non-manufacturing PMI, they don't have a forecast on that, but it was going okay at 55.7. We'll probably hold around there. Then we come to Australia. And, we got some interesting numbers coming through last week. One which was very interesting right at the beginning of the week was the Housing Industry Association, their new home sales data, month of December. And in 1 month, new home sales lifted 91.8%. Now, a lot of this is down to government incentives. They'd lifted 15.2% month on month the month before. So we're now seeing record amounts of new home sales around Australia. The only other period that comes even remotely close is in that GST introduction period going back to 2000-2001. This is a boom like no other coming through in housing now. And I don't think it's widely recognised just how powerful this thing is. It's really taking off, fostered in part by ultra-low interest rates and government incentives to help things recover. It's taking off. We had on Wednesday Westpac Consumer Sentiment. Now, this came back a bit because, obviously we went back to restrictions in much of the period. We had that extra COVID part. It's still okay. It was minus 4.5% after being up 4.1% the month before. Still at quite an elevated level, so nothing too bad with that reading, and it'll probably lift again when we get to February. We also had the labour force data, and the labour force data for once was on expectations, and the market expected plus 50,000. We got plus 50,000. That was after plus 90,000 the month before. You know, this was a month where we had a bit of disruption, but we still had a lift in employment. Full-time jobs up 35,700. Participation rate is now up above where it was before COVID-19 set in. It went up to 66.2% from 66.1%. The unemployment rate came down more than expected and has come down to 6.6% from 6.8%. So this part is still running very, very strong for the time being. We also had a preliminary reading of retail sales, and retail sales were up hugely back in November. Then we had some restrictions, and on top of that, we had to have some pullback. It was a reasonable pullback, 4.2% down for December, but they're still up over 9% year on year. So overall, it's still a strong result. And nominal retail sales, we don't get the real figures in this. We'll have to wait another couple of weeks until we see the volume figures. But they are up 2.5% quarter on quarter. This is a strong contribution to Q4 GDP here in Australia, completely opposite to what you see in the United States, where retail sales are actually falling and will detract from Q4 GDP. So this is one area where Australia looks more like China than many other economies around the world. We were going to do well through with the Q4 readings that come through. We won't get our Q4 GDP out till the very beginning of March, so we're quite delayed before we see that number. This week in Australia, obviously we've got a holiday stuck in the early part of it, so a bit of disruption from that. But on Wednesday, we get a few figures coming out. We've got NAB, Business Confidence, Business Conditions. These have lifted very well going back to December. They're at plus 12 and plus 9, probably going to lift a little bit further. We also get Q4 CPI comes out on Wednesday. And there's a bit of bounce in inflation in some of these numbers. So the headline CPI, market consensus, is that we'll have a 0.7% quarter-on-quarter lift after the 1.6% quarter-on-quarter lift we had the quarter before. Remember, the quarter before that was minus 2% quarter-on-quarter because you had the ins and outs of childcare costs going into the CPI. The annual rate of change in the CPI will hold steady at plus 0.7% year-on-year, we think. The underlyings will be, at 0.4%. So that's trim mean and weighted median, both at 0.4% quarter-on-quarter, not dissimilar to what they were the quarter before. The annual changes for both of those will be 1.2. But obviously, if they're at 0.4s and are starting to drift upwards, they won't stay at 1.2s in coming quarters. They're going to be drifting upwards a little bit. Nothing here alarming for the foreseeable future that's over the next 9 to 12 months. But at some point, the way things are going and the way that policy is pushing things, look no further than what's happening on the housing side. We are going to get a lift in inflation readings, it's out there at some point on the distant horizon, and it's going to be a story of how the market perceives what the Reserve Bank's doing. The Reserve Bank's view at this stage is a lot of bumpiness in the economic recovery. We keep interest rates low for a long time to come. They've been talking about keeping them low for 3 years. And we can run the economy hot for a period before we need to think about lifting policy. It depends on what starts to show with some of these inflation indicators in about a year's time, I think, rather than in the near term. But the idea that interest rates are going to stay at where they are now for 3 years, which is what the Reserve Bank's saying, got to be questioned. There's an issue when you look at the way in which the forces are building for economic recovery around the world with the huge stimulus which is going into place. We'll also get some export prices, import price data. We haven't got any forecasts on those. Both of them were down going back to Q3. Be a bit different in Q4 because export prices will be up quite sharply by about 4 or 5% quarter on quarter because what we've seen through iron ore prices and some of the energy prices too. And import prices probably up a little as well. We also on Friday get December private credit, and this is starting to shift too. We're starting in the aggregate of credit outstanding. This is not just housing finance commitments, which is a commitment to lend, but the aggregate of the amount of housing credit which is out there is just starting to shift higher. It was up 0.3% in month on month in the credit figures going back to November. It wouldn't surprise at all to see that shifting up to 0.4 or 0.5 in the December numbers. And this is one of the signs that the credit wheels are starting to run in terms of banks lending more, and that in turn starting to foster greater economic growth. And it's almost exclusively in housing at this stage, so that's where it's starting to run through. Just in terms of Europe, we had an ECB meeting last week. There was no change there. COVID numbers are still obviously very, very bad as far as Europe's concerned. They are trying to rush out vaccines as quickly as possible to contain it. What's going to happen with COVID? The worst of the news on COVID's happening about now, but it's going to get better pretty quickly. Several reasons for that. They're going to be vaccinating more and more people. That's going to help to contain it. And they're slowly but surely going to pull out of winter, and the seasonal conditions that favour the spread of COVID so much are going to change. So one thing that's not going to happen is it's going to get a whole lot worse from here, from the numbers we're seeing. It's going to be better or hugely better over coming months, and so that's going to start to factor into people's views about where Europe's going as well. Some of the numbers in Europe are actually holding up not too badly. A bit like elsewhere, manufacturing PMI is in the mid-50s. We had the January manufacturing PMI came out last week. So that's all holding together pretty well. So broadly speaking, watching some of the numbers this week, we still got one or two difficult numbers out of the US, but slowly but surely working our way towards things that are better. Joe Biden obviously is going to be working hard to get out some more fiscal stimulus measures as quickly as possible. This is into an economy which naturally is going to start rising, so there's every reason to expect a lot more growth developing in many economies as the Northern Hemisphere winter gives way to spring and summer.